Happy Sabbath to everybody. Blessings to you and all your households, all your children on this day of delight. It's good to be here. It's nice to see spring coming. I'd like to begin reading a couple of scriptures if I could. I'm going to get my glasses on here so we can do that. So I can do that at least. If you could please turn to 1 Corinthians 1:26, 1:26 through verse 29. 1 Corinthians 1, verse 26 through 29. For you see your calling, brethren, that not many wise according to the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to put to shame the wise. And God has chosen the weak things of the world to put to shame the things which are mighty. And he's also chosen the base things of the world and the things which are despised God has chosen, and the things which are not to bring nothing to the things that are. And if you would, please turn over to 2 Timothy 1, verse 7 through 9. As an introduction, I want to contrast these. I've got something that's been gnawing at me for the last several months, maybe years, that I've been struggling with being in the church. And I want to share with all of you. 2 Timothy 1 and verse beginning in 6. Therefore, I remind you to stir up the gift of God. 2 Timothy 1 and verse 6. Stir up the gift of God which is in you through laying on my hands. For God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and love and of sound mind. How do you reconcile these two verses? What I want to talk to you today about is how do you see yourself? How do you see yourself? Do you identify yourself as weak and foolish and base and common? Or do you see yourself from God's perspective, powerful, infectious, happy people? You know, years and years we've sang that song that God chose the weak, the base, and the foolish things, that we may glorify God. And I think all too often, at least in my own personal life, it's a little easier to identify with being weak and base and foolish at times. And I think that impedes the work of God in us individually. Sometimes it's just simply easier to choose that path. Because to choose the path of power, to choose the path of strength, means change. It means having to grow. It means having to think differently and see ourselves differently than we have in the past. I want to illustrate this by an example of a guy that works for us. A pretty good story. His name is Dan Wiseman. We have this route, and we do janitorial sales and services. We have this route that was notoriously bad. No one could stay on this route. For 10 years, we couldn't get an employee to stay on this route. And we, you know, people would come and go, and Dan Wiseman came to work for us. And Dan, you know, we tried really hard with him for almost a year. And we kept telling him, you know, believe in yourself, believe in the product, believe in your customers. Eventually, they'll come around, they'll trust you, and they'll start to purchase things from you and make your route grow. Well, about a year went by, and Dan looked like he was going to go the way of all those other employees that was not able to fill that job, that route. Looked like we were going to be on, you know, employee 37. We're going to move on to 38. But we kept working on him. We began, you know, we kept telling him, listen, just believe in what you're doing. Believe in who you are. Well, Dan, a year and a half later, has the largest route in our company. He was able to triple the route, because he saw himself differently. He began to believe what we told him. He walks differently, he dresses differently, he sees himself as a winner. I've got two wiffle balls here I don't know what to do with. Excuse me for a moment. Okay, props that I didn't know that we're gonna be here. Dan sees himself differently because he listens to a different voice. He listens to a voice that tells him he can be successful, and he's gone out and proved that. Little by little. He actually has now the biggest route that we've ever had in our company. He was a guy that bounced around from job to job, really couldn't get a regular job. He's just a different person. And I use that as an example. It's just a physical example. People do that all the time in their day-to-day lives. They can change how they see themselves and how they think. Who do we listen to? What voices do we listen to? There's three or four things that will affect how we think and how we see ourselves. So Satan's out there. We know that, right? Our Messiah was tempted by Satan. And remember what in Matthew 4, what he said. He said, if you be the Son of God, You know, he's testing Jesus Christ after Christ had fasted. If you be the Son of God, if you be the Son of God. Satan will do that to us. He'll do whatever it takes for us not to see ourselves as the children of God. And we have to eliminate that voice from affecting us. Sometimes the most damaging voice that we will listen to, unfortunately, is our own. I'll give you a good example of this. My own example, and this is why I bring this to you, because I struggle with this, or have struggled with this, and even preparing the sermonette has actually helped me to think better about how I see myself. I used to joke that, you know, I didn't do well in school. And I used to joke that my grade point average was lower than the legal limit to drive. Okay? Ha ha, funny, funny. Not really, when you think about that. If I continue to say that, what does that say about me? That's not who I really am. I'm a child of God. I am wise. I have lots of stuff that I never used to have. I can think differently and see myself differently than I used to. So can all of us. There's a lot of comments that we can make about ourselves that aren't healthy. And you know what? We don't, if you really analyze it, you really think about it scripturally, we don't have a right to do that. We don't have a right to say, well, I'm this or I'm that, or, you know, I can't do this. God wants us to see ourselves differently so that we can become more powerful in this lifetime. So do we identify with the old man? Romans 6 and verse 3 through 4, and this scripture, you don't need to turn to it, but it seems to be coming back up in my life, in my applications. I used this in the last sermon on a regular basis. Romans 6 verse 3 through 4 says, we're baptized into his death, and therefore we walk in a newness of life. That means a newness in the way we think about ourselves. Others have affected how we think about and see ourselves too. Parents maybe, teachers, coaches, whoever. You know, their opinion of how they see us does not matter. It's how God sees us. And from his perspective, Jesus Christ is in us, right? Jesus Christ lives within us, and therefore he sees Christ in us. And we are buried. Our old man is buried. Therefore, it is not healthy or right to see ourselves from our old point of view. The most important voice that we must listen to is God our Father in heaven. It is the only voice that has relevance in our lives. And we're created in the image of God, right? In the image of God. That should be enough. Just simply how we're made and built our minds. You know, I think of Marshall and how my son and how everything works. How does that happen? And what a miracle that is. I think of, you know, the fact that, you know, I've been called by the Father in heaven, the one true creator. Every once in a while, I'll go to a football game or a basketball game, and I'll be in awe, and I'll look around, and there's 50,000 people, and I realize, you know, there's a chance that I might be the only person in the stadium that knows what I know. That's an amazing thing. Considered a friend of Jesus Christ, washed with the blood of Christ, given the charge of the work of God, offered eternal life with our Creator, called a king and priest. That's a pretty good lineup. Those are hard things to see sometimes and to match up with some of the things that we do and how we think. Every once in a while you hear somebody say, you know, I just want to eke into the kingdom. I just want to be a doorman, or I just want to be a street sweeper. Do you realize those positions are not the positions that are offered to us? That's not a position for us. Our position is to be called a king and a priest. If you would, please turn over to 2 Corinthians 10, verse 4 through 5. I want to illustrate this point just a little bit better. I'm sorry, 2 Corinthians 10, verse 4 through 5. This is one of my favorite scriptures to think about along this line. You see, God does want us to see ourselves differently. 2 Corinthians 10, in verse 3, it says, we don't walk according to the flesh. Why do we think according to the flesh? But in verse 5, it says, we cast down all arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought and captivity into the obedience of Jesus Christ. We have an exercise to do every day, don't we? And that exercise is to bring every thought, including how we see ourselves, into captivity. Maybe then we'll see ourselves more powerful. 1 Peter 2, verse 5. 1 Peter 2 and verse 5. And then also in verse 9, you are living stones and being built up to be a spiritual house. a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God in Jesus Christ. And then if you move over to verse 9, you are, and these are great scriptures, they really are. You are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Why do we want to be powerful? There's the reason right there. To praise him, to glorify him, to bring attention to him, and yeah, in doing so, we will confound the wise. In verse 10, who were once not a people, but now are the people of God. There was a time for most of us that we weren't a people, but we're now considered the people of God. These scriptures should make us feel very powerful. The Word of God should make us feel very powerful, shouldn't it? What is power, and how should it be used? It's an interesting question. You know, God says that he's going to pour out his Spirit in the very last days, and how will we recognize that in a different manner than what he has done? What is power? Well, sometimes it's a 94-year-old person coming in every single Sabbath to be with us. Sometimes it's a Christian that's been in the church for 50 years, never wavering from the truth. Sometimes it's somebody that shares gracefully a trial with us, a disease, and sometimes succumbs to it, but does so gracefully. Sometimes it's somebody that puts away sin that they've been struggling with for years, all of which has happened in our congregation last year that I know of. We're surrounded by powerful people, aren't we? People that have been tapped into the way of God, are close to God, and use that power to glorify him. Sometimes power is just simply refusing to see ourselves the way we used to see ourselves and see ourselves new. Why is this important? Because the world needs to know God. And like it or not, we've been given the charge of the work of God. And part of that work is to have us see ourselves differently than we used to see ourselves. Every morning we have a choice that we either see ourselves as weak or see ourselves as tools of God to show his power. So brethren, let us pray that God would allow us to see ourselves from his perspective. Let's ask that we may use the Holy Spirit in a powerful way and glorify him before men. Let's choose to listen to the voice of God and to reject all other views because they simply don't matter.